Hello and welcome to Dishing Up. I'm Millie.
And I'm Mariam. We're part of Larder, a magazine where we believe who you are is what you eat.
In this series, we're going to take you on a food tour around the world.
In each episode, we'll be choosing a new country to focus on and speaking to renowned chefs from that country about their earliest memories of cooking and what makes their food so delicious.
Come with us on this journey to learn about traditional food from all corners of the globe. We'll be going to places like the Gambia, Azerbaijan, Mexico, and Malta. Leave behind everything you know about food. We're headed off the beaten track.
So grab a knife and a fork, because this is Dishing Up.
Today we're headed to the hot and humid country of Malaysia in Southeast Asia. You may not know this, but Malaysia is actually split over two land masses, one at the end of the Malay Peninsula, which juts out into the South China Sea, and one on a different island neighbouring Indonesia.
Because of its unique location, large multicultural ports began to spring up in the 15th century. Trade began with Muslim countries and later with European traders from Portugal, followed by the Dutch and English.
Malaysia was under British colonial rule from 1786 to 1941, and in that time the British brought over workers from India and China, so Malaysian cuisine has been strongly influenced by the different dishes and ingredients from those places.
Today, Malaysia remains a melting pot of different ethnicities and cultures, mainly the Malays, Chinese, Indians, and smaller groups of the indigenous population, and this all is reflected in the food.
The national dish of Malaysia is nasi lemak, which is coconut rice garnished with a hot sauce called sambal, made of anchovies, peanuts, cucumbers and a boiled egg.
In the studio with us today, we have Norman Musa, an incredible chef from Malaysia. Norman was born in Penang and he's opened restaurants in both the UK and Malaysia.
His credentials are beyond impressive. He's worked with Formula One as a race chef, appeared on MasterChef Malaysia, BBC's Tom Kerridge's Best Ever Dishes, and Channel 4's Sunday Brunch. In 2015, he was appointed Kuala Lumpur Food Ambassador and has written no less than 5 cookbooks.
He is currently a tutor for the Wagamama Chef Academy, inspiring young chefs about Pan-Asian cuisine, and has also launched an Asian cooking academy on Edgware Road in London. Norman, welcome to Dishing Up. We're so excited to have you here today.
How are you? Thanks for having me. I'm very well, thank you. How are you all, ladies?
Yeah. We're good? Great. Good.
Everyone looks happy here. That's good. That's a good sign.
Despite the miserable weather outside.
Yes, you don't want to go out there. Let's not go in here.
Yeah, so first, could you tell us about your earliest memories of cooking?
Wow, okay. So I first came here as a student, okay, in 1994, and I did my degree in quantity surveying. So I got a degree of working in construction for 10 years, and I got bored. Then I switched my career. So I'm a self-taught chef. And then I didn't tell my late mum about my career switch. Only when she was due to come over to the UK to visit my first restaurant in Manchester 2 weeks before, then I broke the news to her.
How did she take it?
Not well. So she lectured me on the phone for about an hour, said how stupid I was, stupid boy, you give up your good, you know, job with good money and everything. It's typical Asian parents, like they always wanted like their children to grow up becoming doctor, lawyers and everything. And yeah, so I was the rebel in the family. So and then yeah, so I took that as a challenge actually. So I told her that I'm gonna prove to you that you know, this is my passion. So I did what you wanted me to be. I mean, got a degree and then worked as a surveyor. It was quite boring job actually. So no, I'm not gonna try to put off everyone about it. But it's not my passion. You see, so cooking has always been my passion. So yeah, so sky was the limit.
And Norman, who was it that first taught you to cook?
My late mum, actually. Oh. So I grew up in a food business family. And so this is what my sister was not happy with me when I was interviewed by Waitrose magazine, because I told the writers, I told him, don't write this. That when I was little, that it was, I was like my mum's sous chef, whereas my sister was busy watching TV.
So, oh.
But they did write that in the article.
So she was not pleased.
Yeah, yeah, she was not pleased. And yeah, so I learned a lot from her. And only after I came here, that's when I kind of like practiced the theory, whatever I experienced, like cooking with her. And yeah, so as a student, you know what it's like. Do you know, you live alone, independent, without your parents and your mum especially to cook for you. That's how I kind of practice. And then throughout the years, she's been passing all her recipes through the phone to me. Yeah.
Oh, really? So yeah. What she's called you since you've been in the UK to tell you about recipes?
Yeah, she told me like about cooking all the authentic Malaysian dishes that I captured and put everything in my cookbook, Amazing Malaysian. So most of the recipes in the cookbook, like, all came from her, actually.
That's really, really sweet and very, very inspiring.
And was it hard to find authentic Malaysian ingredients in the UK?
It was, yeah, especially for lemongrass. So we use a lot of lemongrass in our cooking, in curries and all that, like a stew and everything. And another thing is like a sweet soy sauce, for example. Yeah, so I mean, like now you can find lemongrass easily, even galangal as well. So that's why when my mum first came to the UK, she saw this lemongrass. She got so excited. Like, she was in the supermarket. Look, you can find lemongrass here, even like pandan leaf and everything. So yeah, I remember the memory of her. Like, I took over my restaurant in Manchester because she wanted to share her experience with my staff. So that was beautiful. Again, I captured that in my cookbook as well.
That's really sweet.
Obviously, something made you change careers. Mm-hmm. What was that thing that pushed you over the edge?
It's always like, I always believe that, you know, you always have to do something that you're passionate about. So when I first interviewed by my government, who sponsored my study, my first option was to be an architect. But they said, too many architecture students, so we're going to give you quantity surveying, which I have no clue what it was all about. And then even my first option was to study in the US. And they asked me why I wanted to go to the US. I said, because I want to go to Disneyland. But again, so they said, oh, we're not going to send you to US, but we're going to send you to the UK. So I went to Portsmouth University.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so back then, Portsmouth wasn't that exciting as now, I must say. So Portsmouth has completely changed. And I was there for 3 years. Then I moved to Bournemouth. Bournemouth was beautiful. And after Bournemouth, I moved to London. And from London to Manchester. So I've been everywhere in the UK, to be honest.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and then that's when I first opened up my restaurant in Manchester, 2006.
I was going to ask, Norman, when was the first time you worked in a restaurant?
Well, okay, this is a funny thing. You're going to laugh again, okay? I worked at this restaurant. I thought, like, okay, I'm going to open up a restaurant. So why not just have this experience to work in a restaurant? So my first day, they asked me to mop the floor, which I refused. So I was a bit of a diva. And then I only lasted for a day. But again, I picked up a lot. You see, this is what I encourage, no matter in, you know, whatever industry is it good to be in, it's always like it's good to go and work, you know, in the, I don't know, shops, cafes or restaurants and all that. And yeah, so I learned a lot being in the kitchen, and I've already set up my mind like how I'm going to set up my kitchen, for my restaurant kitchen.
Amazing. And what's the one ingredient you couldn't live without?
Has to be dried chilies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Why is that?
Okay, so we Malaysians, we love chilies, okay? And of course, dried chilies, apart from my late mum's favourite, you can keep them long in the kitchen cupboard. And again, when it comes to the chilies, there are more than 400 different types of chilies.
Oh,
the smaller it gets, the spicier it will be. Yeah, so again, you know the story, history about the chilies, that it was, brought around by Portuguese, to be honest. It came from Mexico. And then, of course, it was brought over to the Southeast Asian region by Portuguese. So now we claim as ours. Because before this, we used lots of like peppercorns to get the spiciness. So now, like apart from in India, from in Malaysia, Thailand, So we use lots of dried chilies in our cooking. So that's the one that I can't live without. So if you go to my kitchen cupboard, you're going to see lots of chilies in there. Yeah.
And what are the sort of recipes that you make with those dry chilies?
It's like rendang, like the one that I teach at my cookery classes at Asian Cooking Academy that I just launched. And yeah, so we use lots. Like what we do is we soak the chilies in the in hot water to make them soft, and then you blend. So it's the same like a fresh chilies, but the color, the flavor is more intense. So yeah, so it's beautiful flavor for having dried chilies. So I encourage you to have dried chilies in your kitchen cupboard.
Oh wow, sounds amazing.
Yeah. Norman, do you mind telling us your favorite traditional dish from Malaysia?
Oh my God, this is funny enough, like someone asked me before. I know like all these beef rendang or Malay curries and all that, they're equally good, but I must say that it's my late mum's this poached eggs in chili sambal sauce.
Oh, wow.
So that's something that when I was a student, when I worked as a surveyor, and then I went back to Malaysia like almost every year to visit my late parents. And then that was the only thing that asked her to cook for me. And then she asked me again, like, of all the dishes, and that was the only thing that you asked? Because it's quite a simple dish, but the way to cook it, like to push the eggs to make it nice and runny, the egg yolk, that is quite a skillful that you need. Yeah. So.
And then the sambal, can you tell us a bit about how that's made?
Okay, so with the sambal, you have to do to use lots of dried chilies. You need to soak them in the hot water to get them soft, and then you need to blend them, and you need to make sure there are no flakes, right? A really smooth, fine, smooth paste. And first, you fry garlic, onion, and ginger with oil, and then you add in the sambal paste. Then you add in the tamarind, a bit of salt, and also like a bit of palm sugar as well to create that beautiful layers of flavors. Then you poach the eggs. When you poach the eggs, you have to lower the heat really, really low to allow the eggs to kind of absorb the sambal paste. I can see you all salivating now.
Very hungry, I will say.
I wanted to ask about the tamarind and the sugar. Does that not come out quite sweet?
No, no. Because, tamarind, like, blends well with something spicy. You can tell whether it's good curry or it's a good dish that, you know, with a nice heat, when you can taste around your kind of like... taste bud around around your mouth. That's important about cooking Malaysian dishes or any other curries.
And what's a dish from Malaysia you wish more people knew about?
Laksa. Well, now laksa is getting all the recognition. Like 10 years ago, I was touring all over UK trying to like feed everyone laksa. Okay, so I'm so glad that it's happening right now. So it's a beautiful dish. So if anyone doesn't know about this laksa, it's basically like a noodles in a curry gravy. It comes with a chicken, with prawns, with boiled eggs, sometimes with a fish ball as well. Yeah, so it's a beautiful dish.
That sounds delicious. We shouldn't ever record this hungry. I'm learning that now.
I've had laksa, can I tell you? I'm a massive soup person, and I love it so much. It's the perfect blend. It's a bit spicy. It's fresh.
It is.
It's fresh, and I think that's the best thing.
And lemongrass is one of the key ingredients, and also the dried chilies as well, and shrimp paste. Yeah.
What's a restaurant that you would recommend, an authentic Malaysian restaurant in London specifically?
Oh my God, you shouldn't ask me that. That's not fair. Well, to be honest, like this is, I'm trying to be diplomatic about like, you know, I don't have a favorite, but I must say that of all the Malaysian restaurants, for each restaurant, I have my favorite dish to choose from. Like for example, like Roti King, they're very good at making roti. Right, for Laksa Mania, for example, just not far from Oxford Street, so they're very good with laksa. So like a seafood laksa, for example. Yeah. So Rasa Sayang with the Hainanese chicken rice and all other like Malaysian restaurants in Paddington and Bayswater as well. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And Malaysia is obviously a country that's had so many influences throughout its history. Mm-hmm. What is that meant for the food?
Well, this is what I keep telling everyone. Food brings Malaysians together. So you see no fights, no, you know, bickering, arguing and everything. And you see like a cafe, you have all these Malays like me, Indians, Chinese sit together enjoying the food. Okay, so for example, like our national dish, nasi lemak. So this coconut rice comes with a chili sambal, with peanuts, cucumber, anchovies, boiled eggs, and sometimes with fried chicken as well. So this is our favorite and we have it for breakfast normally.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
In Malaysia, we eat 6 times a day. Okay?
Six.
So we start with breakfast, brunch, lunch, tea time, dinner, and late supper. Yep.
I love that. And how big are the portions at each of these meals?
Very big.
Wow.
We don't go shy when it comes
Where
to Malaysian food. Well, I think partly because like we sweat a lot in Malaysia. It's very humid over there, okay? So we burn lots of calories. So we have to eat a lot. So that's my equation anyway. So, but again, when it comes to like eating out, like this is our culture. So for us, like to meet up friends, so we don't ask them whether let's go out for a drink or something, but instead we say that let's go out to eat something. Mm. So that's our culture.
So socializing revolves around food.
It is, yeah. So we have lots of outdoor cafes and restaurants for you to, you know, hang out. and catching up with friends and families, of course, yeah.
So when you were a kid in Malaysia, what did dinner time look like?
Well, I must say that I was a very, very bad kid.
That's a good caveat.
I was a middle child, okay? So you can imagine.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Nobody loves me. Well, I didn't know about that until I moved to the UK. And I said, that makes sense.
Phoning your mum back going, Mum, it finally makes sense. This is why I was so bad.
Well, the thing is, like, the table turns around because, like, my sister and my brother, I have an elder sister and younger brother. So I was the only one that further studied abroad. And so I became like a golden child in a family. So whatever I wanted her to cook, my late mum to cook. And then she was just like, yes, anything you want to eat. And you can see the look from my sister, my brother. But sorry, what was the question again?
What
did dinner time look like as a child?
Oh, okay. So my mum, she cooks a lot. So my parents did have like a canteen type of restaurant, right? And then a busy time for them. But when it comes to like family dinner, it's always like we always sit together and enjoy a meal together. And you can imagine like a spread of about 6 to 7 dishes.
Wow.
Yep. So she always like balance out like with fish, with vegetables, and yeah, so lots of stir fries and everything. Yeah. So if she's cooking like chicken, she's not gonna cook fish. So and then because I'm from Penang, and it's very close to the fishing villages and all that. So we always get fresh seafood.
That must have been really different for you to come here, and the meals, like the cuisine here is so different.
Huh? Very different.
How was that when you came to university?
Well, fish and chips is not bad, I must say.
Thank you. We appreciate
our delicacy.
All the pies as well, I must say. Gorgeous. I love them, and yeah, especially the Sunday roast. Okay, but it was very different. So that's why when I moved to Portsmouth, I lived with a Malaysian student. So we have turns like to cook Malaysian dishes, taking turns, like every day there'll be something that for us to cook. So we have to cook something Malaysian, just, you know, like being homesick and all that. But again, I kind of gradually kind of liking the Western dishes and all that. So especially like, I don't know, I'm a sweet person. So like scones, oh my God, I go crazy with that.
We have a serious question. Yes. Jam first or cream first?
It has to be cream first.
No.
Yes. Like it looks rather messy. Like, you know, if you put the jam first and then you put the cream after, wait, hang on. Am I right? So it has to be cream first and then jam after.
My dad says it's cream first because it's like the butter, but okay. I like to have jam and then cream.
Yeah,
it's like a dessert. It makes it's sort of like a topping.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Cream always comes on top.
I still don't buy that. Sorry.
We can agree to disagree on this one.
Right, Norman, so for this part of the podcast, we'd like you to imagine you're preparing a dinner party menu full of your favourite Malaysian dishes. What are you having for your starter, your main, your dessert and drinks?
Okay, for the starters, I would prepare chicken satay. And beef satay with peanut sauce. Okay, peanut sauce using like, so these peanuts has to be raw peanuts, the blanched peanuts, and then I have to toast them, cool them down and then crush them. So when you crush them, you cannot make it too fine because otherwise it's going to tend to be like peanut butter. Mm. So you want to leave a bit of crunch. So that will be cooked with the lemongrass, dried chilies, and a bit of like tamarind as well to give kind of a sweetness to it, and then sourness and spiciness. So chicken satay. And it's important that make sure that the peanut sauce is not too runny because you want the peanut... I can see that you're salivating now.
This whole time.
Anyway, no one can see that. Anyway, the chicken satay is marinated with the turmeric lemongrass, right? And then we're gonna grill them on the charcoal, make it nice and charred. And then when you dip it with the peanut sauce, the peanut sauce is gonna be nicely coat the chicken satay. So that's for the starter. For the main course, I would make something like beef rendang. Okay, so that's a very good dish, like with lots of layers. Again, with toasted coconut, with lemongrass, galangal. So this is something that I've introduced for my classes normally, and then people always love that. Yeah. So and it has to be served with coconut rice. And for the dessert, I would say the turnover pancake. Yeah, so this is like a pancake, and then with the filling, so that it's like a sweet corn with crushed peanuts and condensed milk.
Ooh.
How about that? I know, it's kind of a sweetness, yeah. So,
and then what, do you turn over the pancake?
So basically, you cook, this is a special pan, quite thick, like a pan, because to distribute the heat, you want to get it nicely kind of like brown, kind of like evenly like cooked. So you put all the fillings inside, and you turn. So you kind of like fold it in half. Yeah, so, and then you'll see around the edge, it's like it's nice and crispy, and it's nice and thick in the middle bit. And so it just works well with sweet corn and then a bit of condensed milk, sugar and all that. Yeah, butter as well.
Oh, delicious. And what about drinks?
Drinks. Okay, this is my favorite drink coming from Penang. There's a famous one, what we call this air serbat. So it's a mixture of the coconut water juice with the rose syrup. And then you get a bit of coconut flesh and together with the basil seeds that we soak in the... Have you tried basil seeds before?
I have.
You have? Yeah. It looks like a frog's...
they look like frog's
yes.
Corn.
It creates a bit of a jelliness to it.
It's like a chia seed.
Yeah.
It's like a chia seed.
Yeah, it's like a chia seed. Yeah. So with lots of ice, coconut water, rose syrup and that basil seeds, and it's delicious.
That is so similar to something that we have in Pakistan in India.
Yeah.
It's called falooda.
Okay.
And that's with rose syrup, and we put that in milk, but then we put the basil seeds in.
Okay.
Yeah, and we sometimes top that with toasted flaked coconut. So I think that's really similar. They're
so
really
this is
sweet.
This is what makes Malaysian cuisine is so unique, because it's a diversity.
Yeah.
And then thanks to the British, I must say, because because it's
true. That's not common.
No, this is very true, because of Malaysia was colonized by the British. And then so the Chinese were invited to work in the tin mines, and then the Indians work in the rubber plantations, you see. So you have all this mixture, like if you go to that kind of region, only Malaysia has this unique diversity. So, and then we live in harmony, and then even like some of the streets in Malaysia, we call them Harmony Streets.
Because, oh, lovely.
You have a temple, a Chinese temple, you have a Hindu temple, you have a mosque, you even have a church there along the same street. So that's why Francis Light, who landed in Penang, one of the British officers, so he landed in near the hometown, the village where my mom was born. So that's why if you go to Penang, you'll see lots of streets, cities, the names, everything still have the British names. Yeah. So it's a fascinating history about Malaysia. You need to go.
Yeah.
If you
haven't,
have you
really,
been?
I really, want to. I really want to.
Yeah.
Go
to Penang and tell them that you know me. try. You can try.
You're a local celebrity.
Not really, no. But I do have my cooking show still running on Malaysian TV at the moment.
Ah,
okay. So, yeah. So it's nice to kind of being in the UK and then promote Malaysian cuisine and then go back and just make my Malaysians proud. Yeah, the Malaysians proud.
I think you definitely do.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Norman, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm everywhere. Don't you worry. No, so they can find me on the Instagram. So I'm more on Instagram now than Facebook or even TikTok. I cannot do the dance. I did the dance once anyway, but it was awful, rather awful. But
we'll link that in the podcast.
Well, actually, I did the Instagram with the Wagamama students, chef actually, because that was the try to break news that I became the cook creator and tutor for Wagamama Chef Academy. It's nice to inspire young chef into cooking. Mm. I'm sure all the students, if you want to learn how to cook, so we at Asian Cooking Academy, we want to set up this classes for, I don't know, young students to learn something to cook. Very simple, authentic, and, something that you cook for your friends. Yeah. So, so you can find me on Instagram at Chef Norman Musa. Okay, so the TikTok, the same thing as well, at Chef Norman Musa. Don't look at the videos there. That's rather embarrassing.
It will be linked in the show notes.
And also my website, www.normanmusa.com.
Brilliant, thank you. And what's next for you? Have you got any fun projects coming up?
Yes, I do actually. I'm going to be quite busy in the next few months because, of course, I have this Asian Cooking Academy. It's not just me tutoring, so it'll be other tutors as well that I'll be managing. And I'm working on my new cookbook, but this is for the Dutch market. So because I lived in the Netherlands during the pandemic for 3 years, so it's speaking Beijing Netherlands. So, I mean, I speak a bit of a Dutch. But yeah, so the book will be out in autumn this year. So yeah, so now I'm pitching for my new cooking show for the Malaysian TV as well.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant.
Well, thank you so much, Norman, for coming into the studio today. We've learned so much about Malaysia, and he was absolutely right. We are salivating. We're now going to go eat something.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been your hosts, Millie and Mariam.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Dishing Up.
Dishing Up is produced by Mariam Aziz, Millie Jackson and Hannah Rashbass, with technical support from Maria Martinez Ugartechea.
Special thanks to Biscuit Town for our fabulous jingle. Please join us again for another tasty episode on Dishing Up.
Until then, keep cooking.
And remember, who you are is what you eat.
Bye.